Want to witness the world's biggest football game? Head to iCanWin.com.au, predict Australia's score with a crystal ball, and it could be you and a friend at the FIFA World Cup Qatar 2022 semi-finals, all thanks to McDonald's. Maccas, together and loving it. TNCs apply.
Welcome back to Stumps here on around the country, not on any particular station. Bryce McCain and Jordan Canellis with you. Good to be here with you this afternoon as we continue on talking about the Big Bash, and joining us on the line here on Stumps, hopefully we've got him there, Greg Shippard. Are you there?
Yes. Yeah, good afternoon. I'm in the middle of a subtly buster in Sydney here.
It's Jordan Canellis and one of your old your students, Bryce McGain, who's with me. Hello to you, Bryce. Say hello to your old coach.
Shippy, great to be chatting with you. And we catch you in transit at the moment. Whereabouts exactly are you?
Just landed in Sydney out of Alice Springs, and it's big subtly buster, smoke everywhere. Tough conditions.
Dangerous times too around Sydney and all that. Is everyone safe, I guess, in your squad? They're from all around the region there?
Well, we did survive yesterday, Bryce, so that was really pleasing. It was 42 degrees, extremely hot, and difficult conditions for both sides. And cricket being what it is, we chocolates one game and boiled lollies the next. So that was yesterday.
Greg, what have you made of your two performances so far? The first game that you played in the season against the Perth Scorchers, the star of the show, Josh Phillippe at the top of the order. Everyone was talking about him after that game, but then yesterday against the Hurricanes, didn't quite go the way you wanted with Kais Ahmed, the spin bowler of Hobart, doing the job and cleaning you guys up, unfortunately for you. But mixed results to start the season from the two games.
Yeah, that's very typical of T20 cricket, is the nature of the game. You just can't rest on your laurels. You need to play good cricket consistently. And terrific first game, as you've suggested. Mm. Yesterday, I was thrilled with our bowling effort to drag the Hurricanes back 8 for 51 at the back end. But that should have raised some concerns with our guys that the pitch was quite difficult to bat on. And we rolled the risk dice too often with our key batters, and it was a disastrous collapse in the middle of the order, and very, very disappointing.
So is that just around decision making, or did the pitch actually have something to do with it, where they just tried to get on top of it and maybe get some easier runs by going a little bit too hard?
Oh, 1 for 47, we were beautifully placed. Just the next couple of batters needed to get us to 90 with just some astute cricket, and didn't. And rolled that, as I said, rolled the risk dice, didn't manage their innings well enough. And what happens in this competition, if your team's playing quite well, your lower order don't get many hits. So they played like they hadn't had many hits. And against a lively little leg spinner who bowled and landed the ball beautifully, he was all over us.
Next time, what would you expect your players to do? I'm sure you would have shared a bit of wisdom with them after the game.
Yeah, no doubt. We had an interesting conversation, and it was robust, but it was to the point and it needed to be said. So we're happy to roll like that. Captain was particularly good also in that circumstance.
Greg, what do you do? So you mentioned before, if you're top order, or if you're batting well, your top order normally stays in for most of the match. The bottom order doesn't get a go. How do you try and combat that or counteract that through the course of a season? Do you look to maybe rotate the order from time to time to let the lower order come up and maybe come in one or two spots higher, or do you try and just stick with your guns anyway and just hope that they've practiced well enough?
If we were two or three, wins in the first three or four games, then perhaps you can play that game. But again, we need to make sure that their training and preparation, they're really focused on the challenge and don't waste the ball in the net.
So, Shippy, has the Big Bash changed? Like, obviously, we're into the ninth version of the franchise Big Bash, and you coached clearly with the Bush Rangers before that, winning four out of the first five titles. Has the game evolved so much now, and what changes have you seen?
I just think the players understand the challenges of the game better, even though you would suggest yesterday we didn't look like we had. However, The batsmen at the top of the order, the attacking nature is beyond what it was when it started. And the bowling groups, I think, are a lot cleverer just in terms of their matchups, in terms of their balls that they want to deliver to shut batsmen down. You know, they're doing a great job from a bowling point of view. So I think there's been great advances there. Batting 360 degrees, hitting, as we're seeing teams, you know, prepared to roll that sort of dice from ball one.
Have you evolved your coaching as the game has changed? Because you're primarily now a T20 head coach. Mm. So have you evolved how you go about it? You know, I'm sure back in the day with the Bush Rangers, you'd probably say step and hit it straight down the ground. But as part of your throwdowns, are you getting the guys to paddle and sweep and ramp and things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you need to move with the times, and that's where the game's at. And we've got 120 balls to score, and you know, 80 scoring shots is the minimum these days to be successful. So you need to have the players in a frame of mind to be scoring and finding ways to score every ball. So you know, we encourage that, and the cricket is still all about fundamentals, being able to deliver the stroke or the ball that you want to bowl and get it in the area and to match the field that you're setting. So, you know, there's cat and mouse going on all the time.
Are there times, Greg, where you will tell your players not to perhaps go out with the big, you know, flourishing and exorbitant shots right from the start? Does it have to be controlled how many times your batsmen play the sweeps and the paddles? Do you have to sort of control that creativity?
No, we don't really get involved that much. We have combinations of players. If you think of Hughes, who's a perfect foil for young Phillippe, who does play quite freely, and that's his nature and that's his batting personality, and he's done particularly well with that. We've got a few more calmer guys through the middle in Vince and Moses Enriquez and Silk. So, you know, each team has those sort of combinations to get the job done. And normally we've been a really reliable team in chasing. So it was disappointing for the group that we delivered that performance yesterday.
Shibby, leadership is so critical in T20, and captains can really win and lose you the game, can't they? Just with their decision-making, the strings that they pull and the strategies and their ability to, under pressure, cope with that. Are there some leaders that you go specifically, boy, he really gets the game, and that's a big advantage for that team?
Well, as you know, I was very fortunate to have Cameron White as our captain of the Bush Rangers through those early periods of T20 cricket, and he was what I would describe as not a good captain, but an elite captain. And I think in Moses Enriquez, we at the Sydney Sixers have that same sort of guy, as you said, know when to pull the fielding moves, the bowling moves, how to read the team. You know, he's an outstanding leader. But we've got Silk and Hughes also to provide, you know, leadership backup. And I'm thoroughly impressed with young Tom Curran as well from England, who at 23 or 4 just brings amazing leadership to the table.
Well, that's good. You've got leaders all around your group to help guide and hopefully pull the right strings. What's going to be the next move for the Sixers? What's coming up, and what can we expect after being 1-1?
Fly back. We just landed in Sydney and we're playing the Heat tomorrow. So it's a jam-packed schedule. Which I've made some comment around as well in the early phases. But let's take on the Heat tomorrow, see where we go. Hopefully we're 2-1.
What
is
it?
Play on Christmas Day and play on Boxing Day. So it's all happening.
So it is flat out and it's in and out. So there's not a lot of, I guess, game preparation and get your head around and have a day's rest or whatnot. What have your comments been around that type of scheduling?
Well, I really would have thought that the best preparation for players in the competition would be where scheduling could to have a two-day break between games. So where we travel today, we don't play tomorrow. So that basically was where I was coming from.
Is that, Greg, is that noticeably different from last season where the Cricket Australia have condensed last season's schedule to be in a tighter time frame than this season? Is that more noticeable this time around?
Oh, absolutely. Last year we had some 4 or 5 day breaks, 1 7-day break, which was over the top. So I can understand that they wanted to narrow the schedule, but we probably narrowed it by a week.
In terms of, you must be a pretty proud guy. Obviously, you're coaching, you're focusing in on the Sixers. We understand that, but you must be pretty proud as well. A couple of players that you coached are now coaching against you in David Hussey with the Stars and Michael Klinger with the Renegades. How does that make you feel, other than old?
Well, very, very old. That's what it means. But yeah, look, I'm delighted for them to see them come through, and as well as those two you mentioned, who I'm looking forward to meeting in the competition. Interacting with Brad Hodge in the media yesterday, and the last couple of games he's been away with us, and Andrew McDonald coaching for Australia. So Cameron White's probably putting a playing coaching role in South Australia there. So yeah, look, it's pleasing that. To know that I guess they've been given my foundation of ideas, then they can play off that and do it their way.
Yeah, look, do you still keep in touch with him in a bit of a mentoring role? Does that continue as part of what you do now?
Yes, I do. I talk to David and others around coaching, and Maxie Klinger and I are due to have a coffee whenever we do get a spare moment.
Is that something that you think is a bit of a gap in coaching in Australia?
Sorry, can you repeat that again?
Yeah, do you think that's been a bit of a gap in terms of the mentor roles, the ongoing part of it? Coaches just seem to get into a role and continue on. Do you think there can be more done for the coaches to help them with their career and their growth?
Yeah, absolutely. That is a great opportunity for Cricket Australia, or indeed the States. And I do play that role in for Cricket Victoria with our coaches of the elite youth program. So, they're a step ahead, as usual, the Victorians. But more globally around Australia, that is a great opportunity. I call that the coach's health check. So I'd look forward to run a little program around those sort of issues in the future.
Greg, are there opportunities for coaches to come into assistant coaching roles and have a major impact? I know with footy, for example, and footy might be a bit overkill because it seems like there's 10 or 20 coaches in a coach's box in an AFL match, but do the coaches in cricket, the assistant coaches around the state teams and the 2020 teams, do they have maybe the same impact and input as what other sports might have?
If the head coach is a wise head coach, then they have a massive impact. So, I'm very pleased with Andre Adams as our bowling coach up here, and Gavin Twining, from a batting point of view, have a super impact with our players in preparation and also yesterday in strategy break.
How do you go about selecting your coaching staff?
Well, up in New South Wales, there's some coaches that were in the system up here who were I was encouraged to use, and I was pleased to use them. So, I'm essentially using a New South Wales-based coaching panel.
That makes a lot of sense. How does this sit with you, Greg? You've got enormous respect around Australian cricket. Are you comfortable with the title of Australia's cricket Yoda, as in the wise person to actually implement and lead the players? How do you feel with that?
I'm not sure how to feel about that. I'm happy to just share, I guess, my experiences. I guess I started in 1977, 78 at this first-class level and still chugging along. So I've seen every generation and lots of decades. So, I'm happy to continue to provide, ideas and advice to whoever wants to listen.
Greg, are you able to hang on the line? We need to get to a break. Would you like to stick around and have a bit of a broader chat about Australian cricket after this?
I'm in a difficult situation at the moment, so I'm in this, it's difficult to explain where I am at the moment.
Well, that's okay. We can finish it up here then. Bryce, I know you wanted to ask Greg a few questions about the Australian setup and cricket in Australia in general.
Yeah, we might get back to that another time.
Another time?
Greg,
right.
We really appreciate you giving up your time. You're obviously in transit at the moment and looking to get home safely. So we really appreciate it, Greg. And good luck for the rest of the tournament with the Sixers. We look forward to more success coming your way.
Yeah, thanks very much. It's been great to be on Stumps. It was a show I listened to all the time when I was down in Melbourne at this time of year. So good to see you still moving forward.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Greg.
Cheers.
Greg Shippard there, the coach of the Sydney Sixers in the Big Bash League. One win and one loss from the first two games of the season, and on to the Brisbane Heat next. We'll take a quick break here on Stumps. Jordan Canellis and Bryce McGain with you, and we'll chat about things after this and maybe look ahead to the Boxing Day Test too.
Sometimes needing new tyres can catch us by surprise. That's why Tyre Power gives you the power of Zip Pay and Zip Money. You can get what you need now, get back on the road safely, and pay for it later. Terms and conditions apply. So visit tyrepower.com.au or call 13 21 91.